This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
DJ, can I mirror what to say to you? I need advice, you have to up my game. My barista's pretty cute, I died on the Starbucks floor. You dedicated 1 hour a week to help us out, just you two crazy Jews. When you you knock me out, I fall apart. I thought I was the master. You make up names for all the questions. You'll goof and gaff at us. You'll even laugh at us, even though most of it is just digression. We listen just for you. We go down low for you, and you give us bad advice. If I were you, yeah, you give us bad advice. If I were you.
Christ, that was incredible.
That was really good. That was Geordi, G-E-O-R-D-I-E. Geordi with a Dear Theodosia from Hamilton parody.
I feel like we can't do a show now.
Oh, because it's too sweet?
We can't top what the theme song was.
Yeah, when you get someone with a good voice to do a parody of a really sweet, great song, it's just as powerful as the song itself.
Yeah, good Lord. We didn't deserve that.
So, Geordi, if you're listening, can you do another Hamilton one next? What are we thinking? Wait for it?
Oh, what's the one with... I want to do the... Shit, it's the one that the women sing.
Oh, yeah. Not Never Be Satisfied.
No, not that one, but that one's also dope.
actually, if you could just do an entire hip-hopera parody.
Yeah.
What would you rather have? A voice as good as the guy that was singing, or to be able to dunk a basketball?
Voice, 100% voice.
Really?
Yeah.
If you
can already dunk.
Oh.
No, voice, that's like...
You'd rather have a great voice than like a 42-inch vertical?
Yeah, because the 42-inch vertical impresses you.
Yeah.
And like a bunch of guys that we hang out with. The voice is sort of like universally...
He will blow us all away.
Dear Theodosia.
Yeah, I would definitely rather dunk.
I know.
What a great feeling that would be to throw down a two-hand jam.
I guess I... Yeah.
You never see bad basketball players dunk. Like someone that doesn't know how to play basketball but is 6 feet tall and just happens to have a 45-inch vertical. So like, I can't dribble, I can't shoot, but if I like have a running start, I can dunk a ball.
Oh, that's, I guess that's true.
Like a gymnast or somebody else that like needs to jump really high. Or a high jumper.
Right.
Yeah, if we can find like a Cuban high jumper that can jump really high, dunk the ball, but
I feel
can't
like we're
play basketball.
So far off message right now.
Sorry.
What did this, where did this come from?
Theodosia?
This is your other podcast that you want to host. Find a dunker.
Would you rather this or dunk? Oh yeah, Geordi. I already said his name. So what is this? This is an advice podcast. It's called If I Were You. This is the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Josh.
We've had a lot of episodes, not a lot, but we had a few episodes in a row. Guests, live show. But this is the first one in a bit that's just straight up you and I.
Back to basics.
You and I in a little toy shop with a bag of balloons with the money we bought. Yeah, I'd rather dunk than do that. For sure.
99 red balloons.
What happens on the show? People will email us. They're in need of our advice. We do our best to dispense our wisdom. It goes over really well for all parties involved. Oh, you know what we should mention?
Yeah?
Is our subscription thing.
That's true.
So we found out recently,
shh,
we sort of knew it, but we didn't know it was this specific, that if you get, let's say 5,000 people.
Let's say that because we think that's actually the number.
Okay, if you get 5,000 people to subscribe to your podcast in a day, you'll have the number one podcast on iTunes, which is like, you know, above Radiolab, Joe Rogan, This American Life, Invisibilia, really important, big, cool, great shows.
Yeah. You anybody opening their podcast app for the first time that day will basically automatically subscribe to our podcast.
Borderline accidentally. And I want to say it's like we're taking advantage of the system, but it's not like we're making bots that that subscribe. We're actually asking our fans who do listen to the show, but might not necessarily subscribe on iTunes.
Right.
So let's say we get, in this first day, 35,000 people will listen to the show. Great number. If we get one in every seven of them, you listening, to subscribe on iTunes.
If you're listening to the show on SoundCloud, or if you listen to it on Spreaker, if you're, you know, or I don't know how people fucking do
another app, whatever, however you're listening to it. If you go to iTunes.com on your browser, if you go to iTunes.com/HeadGum.
Or go to use the iTunes podcast app, the native app on most of your phones.
Yeah, you can find a link to our show, and then you hit the subscribe button. And then when you subscribe, it'll let iTunes know, oh, somebody new is subscribing. We'll give them a little micro rank. And if 5,000 people do that, we'll have the number one podcast on iTunes.
The queue.
Yeah.
We get up to the top.
We'll have a fast pass.
We're asking you guys to help us cut. But I think that, you know, as our loyal, loving fans who we adore, cherish, this is a huge boon to us.
True. It's like we're asking for money, but not money, but a little bit of your time.
We're asking for growth.
Yeah.
And this is legitimately, this is a way that you can help us out and help the show out.
It's a vote of gratitude. It's a vote of confidence that'll give us more exposure so people will be able to find the show.
I like the idea of everybody listening to our show for the first time hearing this.
Yeah.
Exactly how we gamed the system of iTunes.
So I'm going to delete this, actually. Cut this part out just because it doesn't behoove us to have it. It's should we call this a moral gray area, or you think it's fine completely?
I think it's completely fine.
Completely fine.
I challenge anybody to think that it's not.
Yeah, we're asking already our fans. People are listening to the show.
Yeah, we're just saying, if you like the show, let other people know about it.
Yeah, which is what people do sort of passively. You'll hear at the end of the show, oh yes, rate and subscribe. But that those two words just gloss over people.
Right.
So we're like, wait, stop right there. We know you didn't hear that.
Really subscribe. It doesn't actually, for right now, it doesn't even matter if you rate. Just subscribe. It's fine. We'll talk about rating another time, guys.
Which isn't to say ratings aren't good.
Let's start the show.
Okay. So these are real emails from real people. We're going to keep them anonymous, give them fake names to preserve their anonymity. I wanted to Game Boy it up this episode, you know.
Oh, the Game Boy.
That's right.
You wanted the game.
I wanted the game. But I had one question that I think we should answer without the Game Boy. Back I go.
Back into my little cave. Back from whence I came.
Why'd
my fortress
you say my
of solitude.
Name? Why even summon me?
This was a waste of my time and yours.
The Game Boy charges $450 an hour. The Game Boy is actually a very high-priced attorney.
I bid you adieu.
gunshot to the head. It doesn't do anything because he's a robot.
Bing!
So I found a good question that I think we should answer.
Okay.
Before we even get to the Game Boy, which is, let's call this guy...
Andy Murray.
Andy Murray writes, longtime fan, first time writing in, and I got a pretty simple but surprisingly tricky question for you. My question is this. How do I get girls to like me if I'm simply not funny? I'm a social guy and I have plenty of friends, but truth be told, I've never been a funny person. And I find this has become quite a problem when trying to get the ladies to like me, especially on Tinder. I'm not sure if y'all will be able to answer since it's literally your job to be funny, so it might be hard to put yourself in my shoes, but I'd love to hear your collective thoughts on my predicament. P.S. I moved to New Haven for the summer.
What up?
And if Jakey has any suggestions of places I should check out, I'd love to hear that too.
203Z.
Mm. So,
Mr. Waven, New Haven.
What's the closest you've gotten to being not funny?
I guess there have been a couple times where I went out on dates where people just like weren't amused by my sense of humor.
Yeah.
But that didn't make me feel bad. It made me feel like, well, fuck this person.
Yeah, they're wrong. I'm right. My jokes rule. Your jokes drool.
I sort of had this experience watching Batman versus Superman a few weeks ago, where I was watching Lois Lane. She's in a relationship with Clark Kent.
Yeah.
I was like, does he ever make her laugh?
Or do I deserve her?
He is Superman, but like it doesn't seem like he has very much fun.
Yeah.
He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders.
He can save the day, but like when they're eating dinner, is Lois cracking up or smiling at her?
They just like are very, very quiet.
Yeah.
So, like I think...
What a dramatic relationship they have.
I do, but I mean, there are people like that who are just like, oh, I'm a pretty serious guy or a pretty serious girl. I don't like to laugh. I don't crack jokes.
That's interesting, right? Imagine a serious girl marrying a serious guy.
Yeah.
Which must happen a lot. Are most people, do you think, funny or serious?
I think most people, it's probably pretty even.
Because I think there's like comedians that, like us, we crack jokes, make bits too much.
Right.
And then there's like friends of ours that aren't comedians, but they're funny. They can hang.
Yeah, most people can hang. I think it's like even people who aren't funny sometimes have a good sense of humor. They know what they like.
Yeah.
Like I think about friends of mine who aren't like comedians or don't even crack like really great jokes, but they have like high comedic taste.
Yeah, like Ben Schwartz.
Because they think I'm funny.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, Ben Schwartz was one of them for sure.
Like he's kind of funny, but like...
Right, but he's not
more
always
of a
doing
writer.
Like,
actor type.
He's nebbish and quiet.
Yeah.
And takes himself very seriously.
He's a poet. People don't know, but Ben only wears black turtlenecks when he's out and about in Los Angeles.
You'll make a joke and Ben will nod and say, that's a good
funny.
One.
That's funny. I get like he has a good sense of humor.
But yeah, it's weird to think about.
Yeah, some people legit they must go through days without joking or laughing.
Yeah.
What is that?
I haven't smiled yet today.
Which is fine. Like, laughed. Like, for like, them, they look at me and they're like, you haven't cried today. And I'm like, yeah,
people don't cry every day, right?
I don't know.
But, like, I've cracked jokes to a bank teller before and they laugh and they're like, thanks, I needed that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, God, you did.
Like, I really needed
that. I needed that. Like, well, good, because I couldn't help it.
Welcome to my life, baby. It's almost too much.
Can you keep up? Go away, sir.
I can do the huddy-duddy. I can do the tape and
your
scummy.
Card was declined, actually.
Oh, right.
You've overdrawn.
Giggity-giggity. That's Quagmire. No, I can't turn it off, even if it's just me.
Hey, did you get your yuck-yucks today?
I hate myself.
So this guy can't make anybody laugh. It makes approaching people hard.
I hope he's handsome. I hope he's like a hot, nice guy. Because I know some hot, nice guys that aren't funny.
He must be. Because like, don't you develop humor as like
only ugly people can be funny.
It's some kind of like evolutionary thing for like ugly people.
Yeah.
To make sure they can procreate.
Yeah. Otherwise, ugly people wouldn't be around today.
Because other ugly people.
Yeah. The ugly, unfunny people died out in the Middle Ages.
Amazing.
Yeah. Because they couldn't find anybody.
With Napoleon.
Yeah. But then there's some magic people that are like, oh, I'm a handsome, talented actor or athlete, but I'm also really funny.
Right. That's like the Rick Fox.
Yeah. And you're like, wait, why do you, you can't be funnier than me and then also be a good everything else.
He can sing too. He can sing and dunk. Have
of
you
course.
Ever seen him
He's
do
also
it?
Been on So You Think You Can Dance or Dancing with the Stars.
Dancing
He's a good
stars.
Dancer too.
That's right.
He can move. He can sing. He can be funny and he can act.
And he can fuck.
Yeah. He can
deep
He
too.
Can dunk and funk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
did we answer your question? Rick Fox is better than all of us.
So what can you do? What do girls, or I should say, what do people like? If not a sense of humor. It is actually hard for me to relate, because that's when I had nothing. I still had that.
Yeah.
Like when I was a greasy, ugly tween with braces, I still had jokes.
I think you just have to think about what you are passionate about and what you do like.
Yeah, people like sincerity and genuineness.
Yeah, and I think everybody has triggers that like make them animated and earnest. And so maybe it's not like you cracking jokes at anything, but maybe you just want to talk to somebody about what are your triggers, and you find out what their triggers are. Like,
yeah.
You talk to somebody about politics or movies or music.
You know what's good is to be a good guy. Like, you know how there's some people that you're like, that's a good guy. He's just a good guy.
Yeah.
And like, I know a lot of nice people, but I don't know a lot of good guys.
You know a good way to be a good guy?
How?
Is just work on a good laugh.
Oh, people like a good laugh.
If you got it, like, you can't fake being funny, but you can definitely fake laugh at other people's jokes.
Yeah.
And if you are a good laugher, and if you've got like a big old smile and you encourage people who are funny and you encourage people having fun around you, then you're a good guy.
Yeah, it's like you're a good team player. You're a point guard. You don't necessarily shoot, but you can dish it out. And actually, if you don't have a good laugh, we can even, I think, because since we make jokes, we can at least give suggestions about what a good laugh would be.
Yeah, sure.
So like... Like if you laugh like a little Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh. Yeah, I like to laugh like sort of like a Japanese style porn, like when.
Oh,
like you're a little ashamed to laugh. Oh, very coquettish. Yeah, a little cute.
Yeah.
Oh, what about like the laugh right before Wipeout, like a.
Wipeout.
Right, then people can say Wipeout, but that'll be your natural laugh.
That's like also kind of like Mario.
Hmm.
I also like a Paul Bunyan.
Oh, like a...
Oh, no, Tim the Toolman Taylor, that's better.
Oh, like what? Oh, that's good. That's a good, like, gruffy laugh. Yeah.
Santa? Oh, ho, ho.
Is that him laughing? Is ho, ho, ho Santa laughing, or is that him saying hello?
I don't know.
Santa's a good example of a good guy, because he's not, like, you never see Santa make a joke.
Right.
But he's just like a good guy.
And when
guy.
He does, they're very off color.
Yeah. They're pretty racially, not like racist, but racially insensitive.
Charged.
Yeah. Yeah, charged. Ho, ho, ho! That's really funny!
Thanks, Santa.
So be a good guy. Be genuine. Basically, all the things an asshole isn't.
Yeah.
Like, not mean.
That's fair.
Who do you know someone who's a good guy?
Billy.
Oh, yeah. But Billy's also funny. Billy is so that really doesn't funny. Make sense. I had a friend in high school named Simon. He wasn't necessarily funny, but everyone loved him because he was a good guy.
Hmm. He's dead now.
He is dead, yeah. No, he's still alive. Good guys last the longest.
Yeah.
All right. Now that we're done with this question, let's bring out the Game Boy again.
Oh, me?
Oh, come on, Game Boy.
I was just settling in for my long winter's nap.
You don't have to be offended. We accidentally brought you out a
now
little
bit. Now you
want me. No, all right. Come
on.
Yeah. I think it's fine. We still want you around, Game Boy.
Okay. Because you didn't before.
We did. We were just...
You didn't.
I just wanted to get to
you
that...
You summoned me and then you exiled me.
I didn't exile you.
I was lonely. I was cold and I was scared.
For you to take a couple minutes off while we addressed the question I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, you thought it was pretty
but
interesting.
But now, hey, we need
I thought
the Game
it was
Boy.
Interesting how you summoned me and then told me to fuck off.
You're not talking like yourself anymore.
Oh, me? The Game Boy.
So the Game Boy is a game that we created, a character really, that guesses. We have a Gmail, if I were your show, at gmail.com, an account. I can search the Gmail for a word. And the game is, let's try to find a word that's only been used in one question.
Now, I also, I really want to use two words.
Okay.
I know it breaks the rules.
I can do a quote search.
Yeah, because
so
they can't
quote,
be separated.
And then.
Right. Ooh, I'm trying to decide if I want to do run train or ran train. Let's do ran train and then see if it doesn't come up, then we'll do run.
Didn't come up.
Damn it. Run train.
Oh, okay. Nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Everybody out there's a fucking herd.
Because they didn't ever group fuck someone.
Yeah, because y'all couldn't run train. I guess if you're doing it, then there ain't no problems to be had about it. Fine. My new word is charcuterie.
What?
Charcuterie.
Like a meat
plate. It's a cheese and meat plate. Yeah. With some fruit and some crackers.
I don't even know how to spell that. How do you spell it?
C-H-A-R-C-U-T-E-R-I-E. Charcuterie. Dab.
Nothing.
Nothing?
No questions about
it. Did I spell it correctly?
I didn't even look. I did a Google did you mean search.
What do you mean?
It auto-filled the correct spelling. And
how did I spell it wrong?
I don't know. Or? I don't know if you while you were talking, I did that.
Oh. All right. Oh, this is a real poor showing of the gameplay. I'll think of another one. Kleenex.
It's not a word, but I'll search it.
It's a proper noun.
One spam and one question.
I am the Game Boy.
He is bad.
I have won the game.
Yes, dude.
Yes, dude.
I'm 17 and I master... Kleenex writes, I'm 17 and I masturbate a lot, just like you would expect. But what is unexpected about my stroke is that sometimes I get red pimple-like sores upon the areas of my teenage trunk. Dick. These sores or whatever are sensitive to the touch and make it difficult to masturbate when they appear on my penis. Not impossible, though. I showed them to my doctor.
I find a way.
I showed them to my doctor, and he said that since I haven't had sex yet, it isn't possible for me to have any STDs or anything, but this still continues to be an issue for me. Insert whatever name you two give me, Junior. Oh, I see. It's an issue for me and Kleenex Junior. That's the name of his dick. That's
all good. Right.
It's like a Mad Lib of sorts. I don't know if I somehow have herpes or something in a miraculous medical feat, or if this is a product of doing it dry. I use a lot of tissues when I perform for myself to the point of creating a makeshift Kleenex condom, or possibly this is a product of me being too rough and rowdy with my rutabaga. Should I stop stirring my shake for a while, start using lotion or something, or get myself checked out or what?
You already did.
What would you guys do if you were me? Side note, I grew up watching you guys and all the other College Humor Hardly Working cast and still go back to the old J&A episodes and highly frequently. You guys are great and inspired me to be more creative.
That's really nice. Didn't need to share that PS with everybody.
Well, I this is the first time reading the question. I didn't know that it would get so complimentary. But thanks for writing in, Kleenex.
We appreciate it.
Subscribe to the show. Like, you gotta
have
subscribe.
You not subscribed
have
yet?
You really not subscribed?
This guy, he makes a little parachute of Kleenex around his dick.
Yeah.
Frankly, it sounds like you're masturbating incorrectly.
He's making a makeshift fleshlight, it seems like.
Yeah, with dry fucking tissue.
But Kleenex can be soft, at the very least. It's not.
Are you
like
at least getting, the lotion infused tissues?
Yeah,
I bet he's not.
That could be really soft, actually. It's
still tissue paper rubbing against your dick.
Right, but nobody teaches you how to masturbate, so it's tough to say what's right and what's wrong.
I was taught how to masturbate.
By whom?
A third grade teacher.
What?
Mr. Melanie.
Keep talking. I'm going to call the fucking police. What did he say to you?
Oh, yeah, I stayed after school one day, and he taught me how to stroke it.
Okay, Jake, just keep talking, please. We're rolling on this. I'm getting his number.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to talk to him.
Mr. Melanie taught all the boys how to jerk it. He would sit Indian style while we watched and demonstrated.
Oh, he was the best. Regale us with some tales, Mr. Melanie.
Oh, am I doing it wrong? Show me the right way, Mr. Melanie.
Well, we practiced on him.
Oh, my Christ, that's hot. Yes, dude.
All the new subscribers we got. Instantly unsubscribing.
Yeah, we're out of the top 200. How do you like that?
And our podcast is deleted.
What's beyond explicit?
You're masturbating badly.
So what would you do? Would you say give it a few weeks off to like recharge, regenerate?
Yeah, I mean, and at first it sounded like he had like some kind of ingrown hair or something. And, you know,
I've heard of chafing.
Yeah, when I was younger, I would chafe.
Yeah, and it would just burn.
It was sensitive to the touch.
Of course, you want to let the injury fully heal, whether it's chafing on your dick or like I don't know a sprained wrist.
Right.
The worst thing you could do is rush back from injury.
Right, because then
you're compensating.
You're only going to exacerbate if you masturbate.
Yeah, exacerbate the masturbate. Or you start overcompensating, and it's like, and then you'll injure your balls because you're just squeezing the wrong part.
Only, yeah, at the bottom of your shaft or just at the tip. this guy hit the nail on the head. I think you gotta go lotion. You gotta go Vaseline or baby oil. Something real nice. I like to do a little Vaseline because that basically heals any.
Oh, let me put some Vaseline on. Oh dear. Oh, the Game Boy is being born.
Oh, I'm coming.
What?
Sorry, I did ejaculate. And I feel like...
No, yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
My God, man.
It'd be so cool if you just ejaculate with one pump like that.
What's that? Oh, a single pump chump?
Yeah.
But like, masturbating?
Mm-hmm.
So one thrust.
You get so hard, so ready, that you just go top of the dick.
Oh, not even a back pump. Just a down... Like,
huh? And then you get like so tight around the top that like you're gonna slide down like a real greasy fire pole, and then just boom.
Yeah dude. It's like imagine a full ketchup bottle.
This 17-year-old is already masturbating again because he started thinking about it.
Yeah, it's hard to not masturbate when you're a teenager.
So
try to take a couple weeks off, see what happens.
A couple weeks. Your skin heals very quickly down there. You need like 2 days off tops and then just maybe 4 days. And then, you know, don't coat your dick with tissue paper. That's not that hard.
Yeah.
All you really need is to put it at the part that ejaculates. The rest of your dick can be, not covered in paper. That'll be fine.
You need to cut it.
Don't cut it.
Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Your dick is way too long. You need to cut it.
Cut it. Cut it. This is a moil coming out for a circumcision. His dick is way too long. You need to cut it.
Your foreskin way too long. You need to cut it.
Where'd you get this cool rabbi? He's really dope.
He gave my son an infection, but my God, his entrance music.
He came out to cut it. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more questions and answers. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
That's
need.
That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I
Bark
was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark
yeah,
Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn, and I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. Damn, Daniel, we're back already.
Oh, good Lord. You only get onto memes months after they're... You just stop saying Opa...
Opa Damn Daniel style.
Oh, good Lord, no.
We are going to be very soon in Dublin for the first time ever. We're coming to Ireland for the first time ever. No Hurwitz or Blumenfeld has ever set foot on Irish soil.
That's... I think I am part Irish.
And I, for one, I'm going to enjoy a pint of Killian's Irish Red with everyone that fancies who comes to the show.
Killian's Irish!
Yeah, now that's a good idea.
Hey, buy me a Killian's at the pub,
and make
matey.
It a frosted Lucky Charm.
Arr. Oh.
Boo! Get off stage.
Fair.
You don't sound like that.
That's fair.
For those impressions and more, please check out ifiwereyoushow.com or jakeandamir.com for ticket information.
We're Dublin, London, T-Dot.
Toronto.
Views.
What's that?
Views. That's my Drake and E.T. impression.
If I were you.
If I were you.
No, it's Drake is Yoda.
Oh, yeah.
Please, may the force be with you.
Think about to come in for a great one. Oh, please. Yeah. Why are you always hating?
Yeah, what's a Yoda? What's a Yoda phrase? And then we could put it into a Drake song.
Use the force, you will. I don't think that is one, but like, use the force, you will.
Oh yeah, so like, use the force, you will. Please.
Do or do not. There is no try. Is that a Yoda?
I don't know.
Fucking whatever.
So please come out. Those are going to be fun, fun, fun shows. And there's not many tickets left. The Dublin venues are kind of small. And while the British venue is large, we're close to 1,000 tickets sold. So get them while they're not.
Get them while they're not.
What else? Was else?
I don't know. How are you doing? I feel like we haven't been hanging out as much since we don't live together anymore.
Oh, yeah. We moved out of our house.
Have we talked about that on the show already?
I don't think that we talked about living on our own now.
Yeah.
For the first time in 2 years, Jake and I don't. We're not roommates with each other.
More than 2 years, isn't it?
That we've lived together?
It's like 2.5 because we moved in together in February of like 2014.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2.5 years.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I miss you, man.
What?
I miss you, dude.
Are you okay?
I'm fucking lonely, man.
You're turning into a dog. Laughing.
Yeah, man, I fucking love you, dude.
I did see you openly weep while you went home last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what we did was move into two separate one-bedroom apartments in the same complex.
Right.
So it's the babyest step you can take to not living
together. We're not in the same building.
Yeah, that's true. It's a two-building complex.
Actually, three.
It's a three-building complex. Is it three? I thought it was two.
There are... So one building is... I think it's technically one, like, one big...
long unit?
Yeah, but they are, but they're like, they are, have different names. It's like, I guess it's two different wings.
Gotcha. And then we live in two separate one-bedroom apartments.
Yeah.
So we live together, but separate.
To get to Amir's apartment, I have to go in an elevator, go down, cross a courtyard.
Yeah.
Go up. So it's, you know.
It's not okay.
I really only see you at work. I haven't been to your apartment yet.
Is that true?
I don't think I have. Just when we walked in through for the tour.
Oh, yeah. There was that
inspection.
I had a dinner party last night, but...
My invite must have been lost in the mail.
Yeah, it didn't come up. I didn't even think to invite you. That's funny.
Who'd you invite?
It was just like a bunch of my friends.
Who are, like, I have the same friends as you.
I know. I was just like Heller and Marty.
Those are two of my
Jesse
friends.
And stuff like that.
Jesse's my friend too.
And George Basil was there. Billy Adam.
Good friends. Yeah. Billy and Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Rose. We did this game where we were just like saying what we fucking hated about you.
Everyone,
everyone did this fucking impression. Said. One guy did, he literally, I know I say this a lot, but he was blowing himself and we're like, that's Hurwitz.
Do
we fucking like dumped mustard and relish on the guy who we said, but that's Hurwitz.
Right, now I'm glad I wasn't there.
We turned him into a fucking coleslaw.
We're spraying mustard and relish in our apartment.
It was a fucking, it
all
devolved
running train
into
on Heller.
It devolved into a food orgy of sorts. Wow. We were all so fucking overcome with emotion making fun of you.
I watched Sports Center and I cooked a rice bowl by myself.
A rice bowl.
Yeah.
Not even rice, just the bowl.
It was just the
bowl. You put a bowl in a microwave. You put like the plastic bowl you drink miso soup out of at sushi restaurants into a microwave and you're like, I'm going to cook a rice bowl.
And I ate it with a knife.
Oh, you ate the bowl.
A very sharp knife.
But it's kind of, we're living in like sad bachelor pads. It's like where divorced dads live.
Yeah, definitely.
It feels a little bit like extended stay motels.
Just like stark white walls.
Yeah, cheap refrigerators with really light doors. thin walls more than anything else.
A carpet
thin.
That always seems sort of maybe a little moist.
Yeah. Moist and but also dry and pilling at the same time.
Yeah.
Have you noticed the tiles in the shower are fake tiles?
Oh yeah,
it's just plastic in the shape of tiles.
Uh-huh.
So it's not real tiles. There's no like on
the, are you talking about the floor?
No, I'm talking about if you take a shower, the bath and the tiles around the shower are all like one piece of plastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but the walls are shaped like tiles even though it's just plastic, a plastic mold.
And then the floor is just a giant flat piece of laminate that's supposed to look like bamboo.
You're right. It's like sort of, it's colored like bamboo, but it's like you can lift it up like a sticker.
Have you noticed how bad their system for packages is?
No, I haven't gotten a package
yet. I basically furnished my entire apartment using online shopping. Uh-huh. I legit shipped myself tables and chairs. Like,
you ordered an end table on Amazon.
Yep. Yeah. On Amazon, on Overstock. Yeah. What was the other one?
You got your couch on Etsy.
Yeah.
It's a shape like
it's
Mario.
An artisan, artisan couch. But their system for packages is they just write it down on like a big long clipboard. So you come in and I ask if I have packages and they just look through the clipboard.
And it's like 500 units.
Yeah, it's 500 units and sometimes I get like three or four packages. So my name is on there like four different times and they have to go through.
It's like a word search too.
So like I've missed like two or three packages because they're just like, no, it doesn't. There's nothing. And then I'll like ask someone else later and they find my name. It's just a huge list of names.
You think it would be like electronic or digital or
something
like
that. Yeah, I asked yesterday. I was like, are you guys going to ever upgrade this? And they said, yeah.
Good enough for me.
All right, back into my sad little cave.
As long as you say yeah, I'm sure that's fine.
But living downtown is really nice.
Yeah, living downtown is fun. And then I guess not living together is healthy too.
Yeah.
Now when we tell people we don't live together, people are like, oh, that's normal. Whereas
people
before,
usually
like,
assume
you guys live together.
Yeah, before people assumed that we didn't live together.
Or they'd make a joke like, yeah, they live together. And we're like, we actually do live together.
Oh my God, is that all right?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you guys were in your 30s. No, yeah, we are. We do. Yeah, we are in our, yeah.
Do you feel like, are you going to move out of this apartment? Like, are you trying to leave this apartment to move into like a real place?
I don't know. I'm kind of lazy, so I enjoy the convenience of living in a
so
close but shitty apartment.
Yeah, and I don't want to spend any more money on rent, so I'm not going to get a better place.
Yeah, and moving costs money.
Oh, moving is the fucking worst.
Yeah, if you just don't have to move again, you should do that.
I think that was like I feel like I've gotten mature in the last few years because I used to just not care about moving.
Oh,
I was just
now
like,
you do.
Oh yeah, I'll move, whatever. Yeah. I'll fucking that. Yeah, I'll beast mode. I'm just. Oh, yeah, I don't like this apartment anymore. I'm going to fucking move. And now I'm just,
I'm tired. I mustn't move.
Can't. And now I finally have, like, money to do it.
Yeah, you just pay other people to move, and it's
but
still hard.
That's fucking annoying.
All right. Let me...
Rant
let me
over.
Hashtag end rant. What?
Nothing. I was trying to think of the HTML for, it's like a bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Close rant, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Slash rant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let me think of a question. Let me think of a word that I can search. I got a good one.
What's that?
Goggles.
Ooh, I do like goggles.
A goggles question.
Oh, I bet you're going to see a lot of beer goggles.
Oh, yeah, there's a question we answered. Oh. I might have... What do you consider a question? There's two questions, but one we already answered.
Ooh. I'll call that a win. You've won the game. The game is now tied.
All right, great. Let's call this... His email subject is, will alcohol always fix everything? So we'll call this guy...
The answer is yes.
We'll call this guy, Will Alcohol.
Ooh, I like that.
It's kind of a cool name. Hi, Jake and Amir. So I've recently realized that every time I hook up with a girl, I'm always drunk. I don't know why I am starting to feel guilty about it. Maybe I'm jealous of the inner Casanova that the alcohol opens inside me. I know what must be happening is that it gets the inner confidence... and not give a fuck swagger. I also think I may have a face that is extra affected by girls' beer goggles. Is that a thing? How do I channel my drunk game into my normal sober game? Love, Will Alcohol.
Okay.
He's got a little self-esteem issue. He thinks he has a special face that, not as ugly or hot, but improves a great amount when other people drink and see him.
Yeah, I know everybody looks better when people are drunk, but I think I look extra good.
Good.
It's
an insult and a compliment.
The angles are all right for blurred vision.
Yeah. Or, yeah, he has, like, very small blemishes that sort of, when you take your glasses off and put on beer goggles, disappear quickly.
It seems like... If you get used to doing anything, you're just out of your comfort zone when you change it up. Like, right. If you go out and you drink and you meet people, and that's like the way it's always been done.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're trying to change it up and do something sober. It is a little jarring. It's a little scary.
Social lubricant is a great name. Like, that's it's very visceral and true. Like, just talking to someone sober and like having people meet, it feels like sandpaper is like grubbing up against sandpaper, and then right. You add alcohol and suddenly things are moving a little fluid. It's a little easier. Things are slick, not unlike the fake tiles in our bathroom.
Yes, that's
just
true.
Very shiny, slick, and slippery.
So how do you transition?
I think what helps is being growingly sober with someone. So first time drunk, second time a little less drunk, third time sober. Suddenly you got good sober game. Then you go to the next person, drunk, then sober on the second one. Then maybe you can start dealing with people on a more sober level. So it's as with everything, you want to transition, crossfade, dissolve into the ability to speak, interact, and socialize what you call a normal sober game.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to, I guess I don't know if I completely agree with the... you know, the rungs you've laid out.
Yeah, like, I think it's a rungs.
I think it's more
two of, rungs do make it right.
Mm-hmm. That is your slogan. Mm-hmm. You're wearing that shirt.
My latter company. Not my former company, but the latter company. Two rungs nice. Make it right.
Nice. You make very short ladders.
That's right. Stepping stools mostly. Anyway, can I party? Can I trouble you for a toilet? It's just that it's very hot out. I'm selling incredibly short ladders, and I haven't been able to take a shit in quite some time.
I am prairie dogging to say the most.
And here we go. Out it goes.
Prairie dog is on the loose.
Oh, no.
Can I shake it out on your stoop?
I assure you it's already trickling down my calf, and here it goes. Very good. As you were.
Cheerio.
Wait, come back. I want the ladder. Amazing.
$1,000.
Never mind.
I think it's all about, well, you want to be responsible with alcohol anyway, but it's really about like staying inside your comfort zone, and you feel more confident when you've had a little, as you've said, social lubrication.
Duh.
But the other thing that makes you feel comfortable and confident is being around people that you know and enjoy. So going out with your friends and being affable, and you sort of feel like you're you know, when you're with a big group of people and you just feel like you own the bar and you feel like, oh, this is cool. Like, yeah, everybody wants to talk to us. We're having the most fun.
When you're on fire, when you're, yeah, having one of those nights.
Those are the situations that you want to find yourself in. I feel like that transcends alcohol. It's just like camaraderie and people having fun.
Yeah, it can also be like different drugs. Like, you don't have to do alcohol. You can go out, right, and shroom, or...
You don't have to.
What?
The rum's always involved. Two drugs.
A shroom and a pill. Any shroom and pill.
I took a pill and a bead.
Oh, that's really good.
And I can dunk.
To show Avicii, I could dunk. All right. You got one last word? Subscribe to the show,
please.
Like, just subscribe to our, please, podcast. It's a button that makes it so we're famous again.
Subscribe to the show, please.
Please.
Why are you always hating?
Please.
Yes, I've got one.
Okay.
Trout.
Huh.
That's right. Trout. Like the fish.
Shh. You loser.
Is there one?
Ooh, interesting.
What?
There's three questions. One of them is in our two answer.
Interesting.
One of them, his name has trout in it.
Hmm.
So do you want to answer the one that's in our two answer? The one that has never been read, or the one where trout is in the name of the man?
Oh, I don't know. Good Lord.
They're all so ticklish.
They're all so different. I want to do the unanswered one, the one that we never opened. But we read all of them just to me later.
What?
I just want you to read all of them to me later so I can satisfy my curiosity.
Like later tonight or?
Yeah, tonight you can come over to my house and tuck me in. Mr. Maloney, my
third grade teacher, was actually going to come by and see, sort of check on my masturbation progress.
Well, I live with him now.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, see?
He's my bed, see? I sleep on his body, yeah.
I murdered him when I was 19, you see?
Oh, I taxidermied his body and he's my bed,
he
see?
He scarred me for good, you see?
Oh, I made it so his dick's always hard and I, yeah, sleep on that, you see?
You see?
I sleep with his dick in me, his taxidermy,
yeah,
dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Dear Jake and Amir, I was dating...
What the fuck?
Subscribe to the show. I was dating a woman for 10 years. 10 years. And we recently broke up because she made me miserable. You know how it is when you've been together that long? The thing is, when we had sex, she would moan and groan about how big my unit was. She would beg that I only put it in just the tip because she couldn't take it. And the sex was amazing because of this. I felt like a stud with a giant hammer. She was the only woman I've ever had sex with until we broke up, and I met a new woman who makes me happy in so many ways. The only problem is, when we had sex for the first time, the new woman was taking my shaft with ease and kind of a nonchalant attitude. I was shocked because I was so used to thinking I was like a horse. I asked her if she enjoyed the intercourse, and she said yes. I asked her if I was the biggest she had ever been with, and she kind of laughed and said I was... average. I have been walking around the gym naked all these years, whipping my dick in bars just to do silly dick puppetry, thinking I was hung. My confidence is shattered. My question is, should I get back with my ex who makes me feel like I have a giant trouser trout?
Boom.
But in every other way, it makes me feel miserable. Or should I date this new woman who makes me feel like I'm humping her with a breakfast sausage? But makes me happy in so many other ways. Thanks, Dan. That's a great question.
That is a great random question. Holy shit.
We should fire our interns for not having found that.
Oh, come on.
We should fire them all.
How many emails are we down to now, by the way?
14-4.
Wow.
No.
Not fast enough, kids.
So this girl makes him miserable in every other way except for thinking that his dick is big, or this new girl who called his dick average but is great in every other way.
We happen to have a lot of questions like this where the choice is between two bad situations. And I don't think that the girl that he likes, I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah,
like the one that he likes and doesn't make his dick feel big.
To me, it's like 400 pros and then like one fine thing.
It's a massive dick is average. Con.
Or like all cons and then...
It's a huge con. The opposite of the size of his dick.
You're saying calling his dick average size is a huge con?
Like, yeah, it's...
But you can only be with people that think that want your dick to be big?
I don't think that... Well, everybody thinks my dick is fucking huge, so I haven't had this problem.
That's awesome, dude.
I know, dude.
You can't relate.
I know, dude.
I love
that. I can't fucking relate at
all. I can't even answer this question because it's about a guy whose fucking hog isn't huge.
I can't even read the question because my cock is blocking the screen.
I'm cock blocking myself because I got like a 40-inch cock.
I feel like every guy, if given the choice between like a slightly smaller than average penis where they could have sex with everybody and it would be fine, or a dick that was so big that they could only like get half of it inside anyone.
That doesn't sound
basically cause pain. They would. I think the vast majority of dudes would choose ginormous dick.
Doesn't it seem like if you can only get just the tip in, that's not good? Why does he prefer that?
I mean,
like I'd rather be able to slide into the DMs, or in this case, the VMs.
The VM.
Vagina monologues.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I don't know what the rationale is. There must be some kind of type of like
you
study
need to
that,
cut it,
like the male psyche that's like, we just want to have massive, painful cocks. Yes, I do.
I don't want a massive, painful cock. I think slightly above average is the best size peen. You'd rather be in the 99th percentile?
I am in the 99th percentile.
I can't even say anything lower than that because my dick is so big. I don't even know a number less than 99. You'd rather have a 12-inch dick than
a
6?
What's the question, dude?
Would you rather have a 12-inch dick?
You mean the dick that I have, or what?
Or be able to sing really well and dunk.
Shit.
Dear Theodosia, I can dunk right now. A two-hand jam will never fit my dick.
This probably came about because maybe your girlfriend had a smaller vagina. Or maybe this girl that you're with, I mean, everybody's different shapes and sizes. So your dick might be big relative to somebody that, like, your ex had seen before. Maybe she hadn't seen a penis. Maybe this girl that you're with now has like had sex with a guy with a big penis, so you seem average or less than average. But the point is how it feels. And the problem, I guess, is that because he feels like his dick is small, he's
your dick is small.
Huh?
Your dick is small.
My dick's fucking sorry, I don't want to get into this right now, but I have a vagina.
I have a big penis and you have a string penis.
I think the first thing you could do is maybe say something like, hey, that's so fucking lame.
Yeah, I think just whatever. I don't think it's bad to have an average sized dick. I think that's fine. It's literally fine because it's average.
I
know it sounds like I have an average sized dick, which I don't.
I feel like people are smart enough now to be like, if someone is insecure enough to ask like, hey, is my dick big? And they say it's fine. They
mean it's less than.
Or I mean, I don't even know what the motivation behind it is. Just lie and say that it's big.
You're giving advice to the girl now. Don't ever tell me that my dick is average.
I think that this guy should look up other dicks, measure himself, see if in his eyes,
how does he measure up?
Yeah, like, is your dick big enough for you? That's all that really matters. Because if you got the confidence to use it real well,
yeah, dude,
then you'll be good.
The cockfidence.
And then also, just know that if somebody
the
makes
dick-nity.
You feel... Yeah, the dignity. If somebody makes you feel
lesser than or equal to,
there are other people out there. You don't have to go back to the ex who thought your dick was big but you hated, and you don't have to be with somebody that you mostly like but makes you feel inadequate sexually. There are other people, and that's what growing up and being in relationships is. There's somebody out there that will make you feel like a Casanova and also is emotionally and intellectually engaging.
They do. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Thanks.
Side question.
Yeah.
You have to choose a vegetable that your dick is shaped after.
Sure.
Worst one is probably edamame, the snap pea.
Oh, yeah.
It is thin. It is tri-bumped. It is salty and it is furry.
That is true.
That is true.
And it's hard to get all the juices out of it.
Carrot? Yam?
That's what's good?
Yeah. Like something long and thick, like a carrot or a yam.
Carrots are thin. what size is your penis that you would rather?
You're thinking of a baby carrot.
No, I'm thinking of carrots in general.
You're thinking of
the circumference
a fucking,
of a carrot.
I said a fucking potato.
They come to a goddamn
potato,
point.
Have you seen? Bitch.
You couldn't think of cucumber?
What?
Cucumber. A big, thick, watery cucumber.
My dick is actually a fucking parsnip.
Yeah,
dude.
Well, mine 3 watermelons. In a fucking row. Ba-dunk, ba-dunk, ba-dunk.
That's actually really... Yeah, that's way,
and pumpkin
way,
nuts.
Pumpkin nuts.
That's right. Jack-o'-lantern nuts.
I have got 2 fucking pumpkin nuts. Like little, like decorative little gourds.
Not little. Not little at all, the kind that win the state fair. The blue ribbon pumpkin balls that come in on a wheelbarrow that grow all lopsided and strange because they can't stand their own weight. Yeah. Elephantitis of the shaft and balls.
Oh, gross.
Luckiest man in the universe right
Who?
Here.
Who?
Me with a deformed cock
yeah,
that's bigger than a car.
Yeah, I hate that. It's the size of a small little Fiat.
Yeah, it's a Volkswagen Beetle.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. If you have your own theme songs, your own questions that you want to get to, the email address for everything is ifireshow@gmail.com. The opening one was the Dear Theodosia parody written by Giordi. And then let me look up this guy's name.
While he's doing that, y'all remember, if you haven't done it already, we've reminded you a few times, but we appreciate you subscribing.
And you know what that does? That just tells iTunes that you want to download the episodes as soon as they come out.
And hey, it's good for you. You don't have to download. I stream when it comes out. Uh-huh. I don't download shit to my phone, but I still get I still get the podcast showing up in my feed that I subscribe to.
And honestly, not every one of you has to do it, but it really has to be 1 in 7. So if you can make that happen, we would appreciate it. And then keep an eye on the top podcasts on iTunes.
See if this experiment works.
Let's see if we climb up the charts. It would be sad if we
don't.
Yeah, don't. If we're a chute rather than a ladder. Paul Balzer is the rap at the end of this.
Cool,
Paul Balzer. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Giordi. Thank you, you guys, for listening. Thanks to Jake for co-hosting. Thank you to me, most of all, for being the host with the most.
So you... I'm the co-host and you're the host?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
You said thanks to me most of all.
Did I? I sort of lost myself in what I consider to be the truth. Coolio, we'll see you next Monday. Peace.
Later.
Yo, 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 DJ Shmoo-moo on the house, in the line. Turn it up.
How's that, my man?
Chicken and beer, but if you do you, then you must already know about that dope fucking podcast. That if I were you, show the anonymity is so sick. Your TV can suck it.
Oh!
Jake and Jocelyn on the mic, the buzz. Cripple fuckers in the face with them chuckles. It's getting laced with the real advice on how to seize a fucking cheese, you bitch. To seize it twice. So if you do not know what to do, I'd straight up shut up, listen up, that's what's up. Cause this is Shmoo and Jake too.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.